okay, this is the antithesis to our American family values, is a man who loves his wife, like, a lot.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Kat.
And I'm Gabe. And we're the Ghouls Next Door. Talk about spooky stuff.
Yes.
Which is Wednesday's favorite thing. It would be the Adamses' favorite thing is spooky stuff. They're creepy and they're kooky and they're all together spooky. You know? I see what you did there. Just like us.
Yeah.
We're also all together spooky.
Our special interest is also things that other people might not find interesting all the time if you talk about it at dinner. Like that movie where they eat the people. You know, that's not dinner conversation, but for like Wednesday, it might be.
We would definitely be welcome at the Addams Family table. Yeah. We also talk about things where we try to, you know, highlight some of the problems in society, which Wednesday has done in the past. So it's like we've got it, which is why, very interestingly, this episode should have turned out a different way. I think like our feelings towards the show Wednesday would be different. If they just did it differently. Anyway, we are the media literacy show from a horror lens where we explore the real life historical reasonings behind our cinematic fears. And we are starting a new series after this break called The Kids Are All Right.
Yeah. And they like mostly are.
Yeah, we'll find out which kids are all right. I think the thesis will be kids. They're persevering, you know, they're gonna get through it. I don't know if all right is the right word.
That's true. Existing is hard. And that it's meant to be hard, kind of. But like, it's also like, it doesn't need to be so hard. And a lot of kids are going through hard stuff, especially right now. So,
yeah. And so we will be covering a variety of kids in the horror world. And although it is more of like a dark comedy series, we are going to be talking about Wednesday, the Netflix series, about the character we've, you know, loved over the years, now a teenager and has her own show.
Yeah, they like kind of twist it to be this like teen drama. Coming of age time that's like entirely focused on Wednesday instead of like the whole Addams Family. Like they make an appearance, but it's not, they're not, it's not like everyone hang out at the Addams Family house. It's like, actually, we took one of them and we put them in a whole different place and we're going to spend the most of the time in the whole different place.
Yeah. And we'll make new characters.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the Addams Family house is super fun. So I hope that we do get to see it in some way in the next season. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Like maybe comes over for like Thanksgiving or something. Yeah, I don't know.
Horribly, I didn't watch the show, like the original. I don't think I've really ever seen much of it. I've seen like, I think a movie version of it, but I don't think I ever really watched the show. So I'm definitely super ignorant to what it used to be. So I went in totally blind with this. I was like, this is my first introduction into this concept. So
so interesting.
Yeah.
Addams Family was definitely a thing I really loved. I've always been like a little spooky kid. And the show, the films were, I mean, you know, they're as old as we are. And they were, that was the thing, like specifically Addams Family Values. I had to rewatch the first one and I definitely remember, but there were parts where I was like, what? Addams Family Values though, constantly. I was like, yeah, I love Joan Cusack. Watch her in anything. And the rest of it, like, it was just, And I've seen, obviously I've not watched at length the 1960s TV show, but I have seen, you know, episodes of it. So
you're more, you know, more than me then for this, because I I just watched the Netflix one. It made me want to like maybe check out the other one because it seemed fun. Like objectively,
we should watch the movies. Let's do it. but we were talking about Wednesday's the show, which is a little different. It's we're a little late to talk about it. It's been out. It was out last year. And you know, it really caught me off guard. I was not gonna watch it.
Yeah, same.
I wasn't gonna watch a Tim Burton nothing. Yeah. But I do really love the character, and I ended up watching it just to put it on as background noise, and then I got really invested just in, like, the mystery of it, and I ended up watching it twice because I watched it with different people, and I was like, this is really fun and cute, but I am also the kind of person who really loves Riverdale, so
yeah,
if you like the CW really cheesy teen shows, you love Wednesday.
Yeah, and I felt mutually. I didn't think I was going to like it, and I did, actually. Like, it snuck up on me. I was like, I'll put this on for 10 minutes, and I'll probably end up turning it off because, ew, Tim Burton. And then, like, halfway through the episode, I was like, wait, okay, this is actually really cute. I am also invested. I really love Wednesday, like, the character.
Yeah.
Because I just, like, I'll get into it, but I, like, related very heavily to them, and I just, they validated a lot of things in my brain. But yeah, I also was like, I don't think I'm gonna like the show, and it was a surprise. So maybe if you haven't seen it, you'll also feel that way if you do check it out.
Yeah, if you were hesitant, I'd say give it a shot. And it's like, it really is just cute. And yeah, I think it's also interesting to come without previous iterations of the characters to, like, plant on there, because I think that partly is why that's part of the reason why I didn't like Fester. I can't stand Fred Armisen's Fester. I think he was so annoying. I'm so glad he was in one episode. But I mean, it's like, okay, who can compete with Christopher Lloyd? Like, like, that's gonna be a tough competition. But also, I just happen to not really like Fred Armisen either. So it was like, oh, okay. This guy in here.
But if you have no comparison, it's just like, oh, that's just the character. There's nothing to feel like a kind of way about.
Guy. You're a weird Uncle Fester. They have an endearing relationship.
Yeah. They're really into encouraging their murderous tendencies. Excellent. Okay.
Yeah. Which they totally were, you know, in those ways. Absolutely perfect for this character. Well, why don't so this will be my section will be really good for you, Kat, because I do talk about the history of the Addams family and how they came to be and grow into what eventually became Wednesday. I don't talk about the animated film. I did not watch it.
I didn't even know there was one.
And I believe, like, because I found it because I think Oscar Isaac voices Gomez. And I was like, that's great. I love that we're keeping, you know, keeping him as a character that he should be. And so now I'm like, maybe I will. I have seen her, like, the animation of Wednesday.
Okay.
From it, and she, like, says something really crazy, like she can read minds or something. So I might watch it, but I do not talk about that in my section. But I do talk about the rest of the history, the other parts of it, and I will just say at the beginning that I did really enjoy this show. Again, I watched it twice. Like, I will probably watch it again before, you know, to pregame the next season. I will watch it next season. I get it, but yeah, I have a lot to say.
I'm so excited to hear it.
So Wednesday is from 2022, last year, and it is about, it follows Wednesday Addams' years as a student when she attempts to master her emerging psychic ability, thwart a killing spree, and solve the mystery that embroiled her parents. It is created by Alfred Guff and Miles Millar, and occasionally directed by Tim Burton. So yeah, whatever. Other cool things are happening. I don't go too in depth about, like, what happens in the show, because it is a mystery show, and I think it is fun to unpack and discover those things as you're watching. So I don't really go into the plot. I do go into a lot of character study, so just that's kind of where I'm coming from. For anybody who's like, so it is more or less spoiler free. I wanted to really, really complain about one specific thing, but it would have been a big spoiler. And so I didn't.
Okay.
So just so people know, it is mostly a pretty much a spoiler free, at least in my section episode, which you don't always get with the Goulds. So go watch the show.
I look forward to talking to you about whatever the thing you were possibly going to say outside of the show.
Yes. Yeah. Once we hit, we start and record, I'll be like, let me tell you. Like, what? No. Yeah. So Wednesday follows the moody character, Wednesday Adams, during her formative years as a teen sleuth. Jenna Ortega plays the angsty Adams and expands the character we've seen many times before. At least I have. Sorry, Kat.
It's okay.
because I loved the Adams Family movies growing up. And after watching the show, me and my partner watched the Adams Family movies. Because I really wanted to experience the horror and like charm and fun that was Debbie. If you know, you know. Okay.
Yeah.
Pastels. What a great film. And Ortega's Wednesday steps into her own version of the character, and we expand the lore that we had seen with the other young Wednesdays, including her co-star Christina Ricci's murderous little Pocahontas. So she's always kind of had these specific traits, and she brings that in, but we get to spend a lot more time with her, and because of that, we need like explanations. Like, she can't just be like, oh, I like to torture my brother, and, you know, I am tortured at, you know, summer camp because everyone's normal.
Which is great. To, like, spend more time with them, yeah.
Yeah, so now she has to, like, make sense, and she has to grow, which I think is really cool, because it's, like, she could only make so much sense.
Yeah.
Like, one-dimensional as she's been in the past. And because this show offered us more time to spend with the peculiar family known for their morbid fascinations and intense love for one another, we get a backstory and deeper glimpses into their peculiarities. And Wednesday Adams has been expelled from another normie school and is now, as a last resort, being sent to a school for outcasts just like her, the Nevermore Academy, which is like, I wish.
Yeah.
I wish.
Yeah,
such a cool school, and they do like the typical high school film where they're like, this is the this clique, they're Gorgons, wink. So fun. Like, that stuff is so cute. I'm a sucker for it. I've seen every episode of Riverdale. Morticia and Gomez had actually met at this academy and are a bit of a legacy, and I do think it's kind of weird. It's a little strange, and not the way that they're strange, and like, this doesn't make any sense, that they didn't start here with her, or like, you know, hopefully Pugsley is gonna go here, I don't know, but nevertheless, Wednesday sees this as a new challenge to escape the norm, that the norm in this case is the abnorm, and she's just trying to be different, always.
Yeah.
So, while at Nevermore Academy, Wednesday learns some things about herself, the town, and the people in it. And reluctantly, she finds strength in friendship, and specifically with the quirky, bright, and absolutely lovable Enid. And if you're watching it, that's watching our episode. That's who I'm dressed as. Yes. Enid is a femme werewolf who hasn't turned yet, and that's kind of this point of contention for her. And she constantly serves as a queer metaphor with her closeted transformation woes. Even further, she's a trans metaphor. Just look at her hair. She's a trans flag. She's wearing it. There's also like her, there's like the part where her mom is like, I'm going to send you to this special lycanthropy conversion camp for girls like you.
And oh, I was my
like,
goodness.
A little heavy handed. We get it. It's queer. But then she's not queer. I'm like, what are we doing? What are we doing here? Because is she or is she not? Like, you can't just be
maybe
like,
in season two, we'll get more. Yeah. But yeah.
Because I'm of the mind that Wednesday didn't need to have a love triangle. She needed a werewolf girlfriend. And so I hold out hope for such a twist in season two. And I'm just saying, like, do more than just make her love rainbows. Like, you can't just be like, oh, she's like bright, colorful. We're going to send her to conversion camp. Her whole thing is like her. Like, it is like a metaphor for being closeted and in this family that doesn't get you. And then she's like, after this dude.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? Like, or at least like she can be after the dude, but then maybe be a little more obvious of like, maybe she is trans. Like, or like they're not committing. And that's the issue. It's just like, it's queer baiting. You're queer baiting. Yeah. And that's weird.
It's an issue throughout the entire show. They code a lot of things, but they never explicitly say it. So that you have like all these people like kind of like am I represented or am I not? I don't know. Like, yes. You know, it's tough.
Yeah, I'm going to be talking about that. I'm about to get into that too, especially about me, because there was something that was so exciting about the potential of this show that pretty much let me down a little bit. And so, and I'm sure you feel the same way for your own thing with this character that could be so much, could have represented so much. Yeah. But Wednesday is a mystery show with bug-eyed monsters and a protagonist that hasn't quite figured out the world isn't against her yet. And with the previous iterations of Wednesday, her macabre fascinations and quirks were fine because she was minimal and one-dimensional, like I mentioned. But with the series, Wednesday can grow a little more and become more than that one-note oddity. And she investigates monster attacks in this town and unravels the complicated, though still foggy, history of the town, while also finding herself, which is cute, you know, to come an age. But let's talk about one of the biggest draws to the show that I was excited about was that this is a very, like, a on the nose, more obvious Latine representation of the Adamses. Because obviously they've always been kind of that, they've always been at least mixed. But having, you know, Jenna Ortega, having Luis Guzman, I'm totally blanking on Pugsley's name, but all Latine. Yeah. And I'll go into, like, I'm gonna get really excited about it. You know, and Morticia's there. She's Irish. She's fine. Yeah. it's fine. I'm just glad they didn't, like, I'm just glad she wasn't trying to pretend to be Hispanic again. It's fine. Yeah. Anyway, the family, the Adams family, was originally created by Charles Adams in 1938 and was an antithesis to the nuclear family. They were to represent a quirky kind of commentary on what we usually see with a nuclear family, which is really funny when you think about, like, what they... Like, what are the Addams family, right? The core things that we know about them is, yeah, they like the macabre and stuff. It's also, like, they love each other. Like, there's, like, a really intense love and care for one another. Like, especially in the movies, like, his love for his brother is, like, it's not the same as his love for Morticia, but it is just as strong and beautiful. Yeah. And it's, like, the fact that just, like, his love for Morticia, right? It's, like, okay, this is the antithesis to our American family values, is a man who loves his wife, like, a lot.
Yeah, because, like, in a lot of nuclear families, the man does not love his wife. No one really likes anyone, and they're all just really sad.
So much of comedy for so long was, like, I hate my wife.
Yeah.
And then that was it. And it's, like,
no. Yeah, their entire personality was just, I hate my wife.
Whole comedians trying to come back being like, oh, we can't say we hate our wives anymore. You know, like.
Darn.
It's so funny. But it's, like, that's what he was. And he also was, like he was strong and he had masculine parts to him, but he was also effeminate in ways. And, like, it wasn't a toxic masculinity too. And like, then you have Morticia, who's just, like, beautiful and gorgeous, but she's, like, reserved and, like, studious and also just really kind. And I think that also, like, it's, like, you know, she's not gossiping or whatever, what you imagine the nuclear family to be doing. And, you know, the kids are the kids. But it's, like, when you think about it, it's just, like, that's what we're competing, like, we're commenting on, and to look at them and be like, this is what you're trying to say. What are you trying to say about us? But the Addams family in the comic strips celebrated the macabre and delighted in the bizarre, though they were never really condescending or judgmental to others, like the normal families. They simply knew what they liked and did as they pleased. And they didn't even really know that they were weird. Yeah. Like, in, like, especially in the films and stuff, people are like, what? And they're just like, what do you mean? Yeah. This is a normal thing to do. And, you know, like, Morticia's, like, cutting off the tops of the roses, like, that's how she, like, grooves her garden, and it's like, that's just how she lives, man. And she, like, there's no judgment there, and I think that was really cool. I think the only judgmental Adams is Wednesday, and for good reason. She was, like, literally just calling people out. And the family had started as comic strips in the New Yorker, which I think is really cool. I didn't know that. And I was like, that's so cool. Then there was a 1960s dark comedy sitcom, which expanded the delightful world of the otherworldly family and also made them Latine. So when they were the comic strip, they didn't have names. They were just these weird characters. And Gomez Adams didn't have a name. He was the creator, Adams, wanted to call him like Repulsy or something. Okay. Like to be like repulsive. Okay. But he just like was this like he's supposed to be kind of like weird looking, and he's like stout because he's not supposed to be conventionally attractive.
Okay, he's against, you know, I see what you're saying.
Whatever. So with the show though, actor John Astin was given free reign to name the patriarchal character, and he chose Gomez. And he told the Ocala Star Banner, which fun fact is my hometown, which is so weird. that he was also free to inject the Latin lover blood in Gomez's veins, which is weird. And despite this questionable J.K. Rowling approach to character naming, the family became, at the very least, mixed race. It's given Cho Chang.
Yeah.
Gomez Adams. Like, what is that? Like...
Yeah.
Whatever. But later, with the 90s film, Puerto Rican actor and phenomenal artist Raul Julia elevated the character further, solidifying the character design completely as a loving, romantic, and very Latine father. And for me growing up, it's like I didn't have a dad growing up, and I didn't really want one.
Yeah.
I didn't really care for that. But if I had wanted a dad, it was gonna be Raul Julia's Gomez, 100%. I was like, that guy, like, I just felt like I never really saw, like, a Latino dad on screen, except for, like, George Lopez, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, he's fine. For my sister, she loved Antonio Banderas in Spy Kids. She was
Spy
like,
Kids.
That's my dad. And he kind of looks like her dad, too, so it's funny. But she was like, that's my dad. And I was like, did I ever have... Okay, and I was like, yeah, funny enough, it's a spooky character of Gomez. I was like, that's who I want to be my dad. So I just love that. And he's also Puerto Rican, which, like, that, we don't get a lot of representation, so that means a lot. With the Netflix series, this Latin identity is expanded past the Latin flair of Gomez and his love for Morticia, and we're given an entire backstory of their heritage. And Ortega was actually really excited to play Wednesday, explaining Wednesday is technically a Latina character, and that's never been represented. So for me, anytime that I have an opportunity to represent my community, I want that to be seen. And I love that.
Yeah.
It's like, that's so cute. Like, I got very excited that they were leaning into it, and that, like, Luis Guzman was Gomez. I know he gets a lot of, you know, flack for not being, you know, Raul Julia, and I get, like, no one is, so sorry. But I love him.
Yeah, he did a good job.
And I think he, you know what, he was playing it, and I think it was delightful for him. Like, I think he was having a good time, and it means a lot, because he just, like, fits that character. Like, he's sweet, and he's doting, and he's, like, a good dad. And that's what Gomez is supposed to be. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
No complaints from me. But just a side note, before doing this episode, I didn't know that Ortega was actually Puerto Rican and Mexican, and that Luis Guzman is Puerto Rican. I don't know why I didn't know that. But they both are. And I'm just really excited to see fellow Boricuas, like, on screen.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa, it was actually, like, I think they hint at being Mexican because, of course, they're kind of talking about being indigenous, but without talking about being indigenous.
Yeah.
So, and they also say Dia de la Muerte, so Mexican, but they're Puerto Rican, and that's really fun. So despite this win for representation, the Netflix series at times felt like a blind casting world. Like, they were like, we're diverse, but without, like, the magic from Brandy's Cinderella blind casting. Like, charming, you know, this was like a mess, because it would be like, why is that character doing that? And then I had so many questions with, like, the backstory, because I'm like, but wait, wait, hold on, but who's this now? This doesn't make any sense. So Just bear with me for this plot because it gets weird. Wednesday and her family's Latina heritage, though confirmed and nodded at throughout the series, does little to drive the plot, which is really sad because you had so much opportunity. Like, if you're going to make them Mexican, like, imagine what you could do, like, with the monsters, with the lore, with just the backstory. Like, do some research, talk to somebody.
Yeah,
a brown person, I don't know.
Yeah.
lay off it when Ortega wants to, like, change up the script a little bit. Like,
yeah, she made headlines for that literally, like, yesterday, and it was like, oh, producer mad and called her out for, like, changing lines. It was like, well, maybe the lines needed to be changed.
Listen, the poor girl performed while she had COVID, and that was really a problem and also rough.
Yeah. But
her wanting to change the lines, not a problem.
Yeah.
It's just a terribly missed opportunity. And I was thankful actually to find, in doing research for this episode, someone who agreed with me on refinery.com. And then in their article, there's a major issue with Latina representation in Wednesday. Writer Nicole Froyo explains, while it is refreshing to see a non-stereotypical Latina role, I would have loved the series to take advantage of the rich cultural landscape of Brujeria, delve into Mexican mythology and beliefs in the paranormal, and truly integrate Mexican traditions and creeds around death into the already eerie Addams Family narrative. Instead, Wednesday relies on simply telling its audience that the main character is Latina and moving on. And by telling us, they just mention, she like mentions Dia de la Muerte, she says gracias once, like to her dad, like that's like it. Like it's so weird. She's, yeah. Like they were like, we did it. We did it. We did everything we had to do. What else do you want? You're asking for so much. But like, even more so is, like, I just recently read This Thing Between Us by Gus Moreno, and there's Mexican, like, spirituality and lore in that horror that was so fascinating. Like, it amplified it. It made it, like, fun and scary and interesting in a way that's, like, non-generic. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, you could elevate your work if you were more intentional about the characters that you're putting into it, like, and thinking about where they're coming from.
Yeah, because it just enhances the character.
Yeah, or just the world. Like, if you just thought about it for, like, a few seconds, what does it mean to have Wednesday be a Latina and, like, be in the spooky stuff? like, she could have had a bruja, like, relative. Like, it could have been... Instead of giving us a bruja that would have made sense, the show offers us a tinted Goody Adams. And Goody Adams is, like, you know, from the Crucible. She's notoriously a white woman. But she's an Adams, so she's Gomez's ancestor. There's some questions, but there would be so much more to explore and unpack by having her ancestors actually be persecuted by the white Puritan pilgrims. Instead of, like, she is persecuted for being, like, an outcast, but they don't explain what that means. Because, like, you're, like, blonde with blue eyes. is this the Crucible, or you're just doing the Crucible? Or is race a part of it?
Because
she has an accent, and I don't know where it came from. So I'm just trying to figure it out. Because Wednesday has been known to, at the very least, be an ally to indigenous peoples. She has a whole tirade where she's Pocahontas in the films, Christina Ricci as her, and she, like, burns down everything. And she's like, you stole the land. Like, she called it out. And then what are we doing? What are we doing now? Because there's, like, this timeline thing. Because if Goody Adams is Gomez's ancestor, right?
Yeah.
But Goody Adams connects to Wednesday to do the psychic stuff, but the psychic stuff came from Morticia.
Yeah.
Questions, like, what?
That is a plot hole. Oh my god.
It would have made sense, and Morticia is not Latina. No. She's Italian. Okay, we're not doing this. But even still, her last name is Adams. And I get it, because it's, like, it's cute, because that's actually the name of the character in The Crucible. I get it. It's a cute little nod to be like, oh, remember? But it's like, but how, what, how, like, what are we doing? And, like, then she's, she, She's also a pilgrim. Goody's a pilgrim. Like, she's one of the colonizers here. She's not a native. She's not an indigenous person. But she's an other and an outcast. So it's like, what is happening?
Yeah.
I don't... Whatever. Because
reasonably frustrating.
You had a chance. Like, you could... Like, if you just thought about it. Like, it's for a little bit. Anyway. Because... Wednesday's ancestor, Goody Adams, is a pilgrim and therefore also a colonizer. It's a little hard to sympathize with her plight, but even stepping away from that flaw, right? There is the issue of the colorblind casting method in the show, because it's not just her. It's like everybody who's not white hasn't been thought about for more than 5 seconds to pat themselves on the back and be like, look, we have a black character in here. Yeah. And we love representation and diverse characters here at the Ghouls, but as we have said many times, when you make a character black, brown, or any other minority, you need to consider what that means to the character now. Like we talked about it with Chardae Sellers, where, you know, she mentioned, like, if you take the plot of I Know What You Did Last Summer and you swap it out with black kids who cover up a crime, it changes the story. Their motivations for wanting to cover that up is different than I'm not going to go to Harvard, you know, like, my dad's going to be mad at me because we murdered this man with our car. You know, it's a different implication, and it can elevate your storytelling. It can change the story. It can make it relatable. Like, you don't have to, like, we don't have to make everything dark and horrible, right? But we do have to consider who these characters are, because the world is going to treat them differently. And in that same article from earlier that I mentioned, they say the few black characters on Wednesday play the roles of bullies and shockingly settlers. An example of this is the character of Lucas, who appears dressed as a pilgrim in episode 1. When challenged by Wednesday about this costume, Lucas reveals that he works at the Pilgrim World theme park. And she says, it takes a special kind of stupid to devote an entire theme park to zealots responsible for mass genocide. But Lucas isn't dissuaded. He reveals that his father owns Pilgrim World, effectively positioning a black character as someone who profits off of celebrating colonization. Which is like, okay, maybe he's, you know, making money off of other people's racism. Okay, we've seen that. We've seen that. What's the director who does Madea? This is like his whole thing. There's the problem of, like, that character specifically. So there's also Bianca, who's the siren and the most powerful girl in the school, and she's a bully for no good reason in the beginning. Like, straight up.
Yeah.
As soon as she gets there, she's like, I hate you. And it's like, for why? Like, hello, nice to meet you. She does, like, put Wednesday in her place, which is really refreshing because, you know, I can't stand chosen ones. But it's like, why do they always have to be the ones to do it? And they talking about the fact that she's getting the Prudence treatment from Sabrina, the Chilling Adventures. She's getting Prudenced and being sidelined for the white or white passing chosen one. And though she does come around in the end as a friend and she sticks up for herself and she gets a little bit of a backstory, it says a lot to make one of the only POCs a villain for so much of the first season.
Yeah.
Like, most of it, she's a villain. I will say she, like, had integrity. Like, at the end, she was like, no, I'm calling this off. Like, she does, like, have a really strong, amazing character that I hope in season 2, now that she's, like, not a bully, we can actually see her be a person. And not a needless enemy. Anyway, but there's the issue that Froyo brought up about the mayor of this town, which is Lucas's dad, who owns Pilgrim World. Because a black man runs this historically problematic town and owns the problematic theme park.
Yeah. Right?
And there's a whole scene where he is threatened and ridiculed by a white woman, Morticia, later when she accuses him of not understanding the unfairness of society and being a part of the problem. And, like, he can absolutely be a part of the problem, for sure. He is a man in power, like, straight up. However, he is also a black mayor in a racist town that loves to hate outcasts. And this is also where I was going to have a spoiler. of what happens is a problem.
Oh, yes. Okay, okay. I'm connecting there because I was also like, I wanted to say it, but now you're telling me I shouldn't say it. So good. Excellent.
Right, excellent. So other stuff happens to him that's also a problem.
Yes.
Right. And it's the problem is like we missed some conversations here, like some conversation points of like him being like, listen, like I totally get it. You were not heard. Your complaints are valid, Morticia. Like as a woman, you were not given respect. I didn't do that, but also I get it. But also you need to come with a little more respect than that because they're like something is happening. Like, how did he get here? What does he have to go through every day to be here?
Yeah. There's also like he understands the unfairness of society.
Yes.
And he doesn't need a white woman to lecture him about that.
Exactly. It's like, it was weird. It's a little weird. It's a little tone deaf. There's also like someone had this whole comment where there was like, there's two scenes where there's rain and there are, everyone has umbrellas except for specific characters. And in the first episode, it's the black sheriff woman. She does not have an umbrella. She's got her regular hair out there that they probably, like, no one on staff could probably style for her. And she's just getting wet, like, drenched. Yeah. Like, weird. It was weird. It was given a little, like, Twin Peaks. Okay. And then later, there's another scene where there's besides that sheriff lady, there are five other black characters. And two of them are in the rain while everyone else has an umbrella. So, like, what? Is that
like why was that the choice? Yeah,
that's just weird, right? And Freya ties it up nicely here, explaining that at the end of the show, the tally is clear. White characters are the victims of colonization, referencing Goody Adams.
Yeah,
I'm a victim too. Black people are bullies, and the settlers and indigenous people simply do not exist beyond rhetorical tools for white victimhood. And I was like, snaps.
Yeah.
there's also the side note that I was talking to Kat about before we started was that there's the character Yoko, and as I don't remember any other Asian characters, but I know she is, and she don't say nothing. Like, that's a part of it, is like she doesn't speak because she's one of the sirens, but it's like, that's another trope.
And that's a problem.
That they silence the Asian, like, at least they didn't put a color strip in her hair, like, make her, like, edgy, you know, afterwards. But she legitimately, like, the only line I can remember from her, she didn't say. Edith said when she was going to move in with Yoko after she got into a fight with Wednesday. She says, like, Enid said all this stuff, or Yoko said all this stuff to me.
She speaks for her, and then she was actually getting lines. Okay.
Like, I was like, that's all I could think. And please, listeners, if you remember a time when Yoko said words, send them to me. I do want to see that. But if it happened, it was few and far between, and the only one I remember is when she didn't even say them. So I don't like problems.
Yeah.
All that being said, okay. In summation, it was a fun show, and at times you even I know that Kat is going to discuss some of the other problems we have with the character of Wednesday, some of the other representation issues, because it started a lot, and then it would be like it would drop it, and it'd be like we did enough. We did. We get star. We get smiley face sticker. For a go, for do.
Yeah. And you're like, we know who's directing sometimes. We know. But we're going to just, it's not bad, though, because we have black people in the show. it's not racist. The show isn't racist. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's fine. We did it.
He's cured of racism now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and I mean... Yeah, and it is a win, okay? And I did feel
good stuff too.
A win having Ortega be Wednesday and making the family more concrete Latine. I think that's really what drove me to it, and I really, really did appreciate that. And it's just like, that shouldn't be enough. We shouldn't just have to settle
for,
you know, the scraps, right? You know, but I do want it to be known that I did enjoy the show. I didn't like Fred Armisen, but I don't like him anyway. So that's neither here nor there. But I had fun trying to solve the mystery. And despite my intense dislike for Chosen One character specifically, I did like Wednesday. She actually grew on me, which is a big surprise. That's another reason. Like, the first episode, I was like, I can't stand you until she was put in her place. And I was like, okay, I feel a little better now. I feel a little better that you don't get to win. I love that. But I love that the Adamses got to embrace their Latina mixed identities. And I am excited for the next season and to see how the other characters can step into the light a little and maybe get some definition, and maybe we can clear up some of these really confusing plot holes about, like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
So that's my two cents.
Yeah, they're good two cents. I really enjoyed them. I'd pick them up if I saw them on the street, you know?
Oh, thank you.
But yeah, the show did lots of things that were cool and lots of things that I dropped the ball on. So I'll get into specifically with Wednesday where that kind of happened. Where my section is not fact section. We shouldn't call it that. It's not.
It's just cat section.
Yeah, it's just cat's, I'm going to say words section. Now. So, you know, we were off for a month. It's a little rusty. We'll get back into the facts. Come back to us. But yeah, I'm going to be talking about Wednesday specifically and unpacking, like, their character, and that, like, the fun thing about them is that, and it's also like a flaw with them, is that, like, they're, like, kind of slated to represent a bunch of different things, and then, as Gabe said, they drop the ball on a lot of those things. But, like, what is fun about the character and characters like them is that they're, like, not real people, so you can put a lot onto these, like, hypothetical characters, mm-hmm. And ways that you relate to them, and you can analyze them as a viewer, but that those things, like, because they aren't real, all interpretations have the potential to be correct mm-hmm. in that way. So there's a lot of debate around the character of Wednesday specifically on, like, if they're neurospicy or not. That's the main thing that I'm going to talk about in my section. So what's cool about Wednesday is that, like, a lot of people related to her, and I did also. There's a lot of different things you could take away from, like, witnessing their character. And essentially, I'm just going to offer up some perspectives that I found on the internet as well as my own. And in unpacking Wednesday as a character, the disclaimer is we can't diagnose this character with any specific thing, as they aren't real. Like, Jenna Ortega is real, but, like, the character of Wednesday is not real. And we can not diagnose her with anything, but we can at least agree that Wednesday is interesting and relatable as a character, and I'll get a little bit into why. So the show has been very popular, both because Jenna Ortega does an amazing job bringing new energy to this role, and because the framing of the show took an entirely new direction in terms of this, like, coming-of-age teen drama time, mystery murderer fun. And the plot sets us up with relatable characters, a group of outcasts that have finally found a place they belong, and it provides us with an alternative school setting that doesn't drain them of their individuality or demonize them for their differences, and instead encourages their unique skills and interests. So a show like Wednesday is kind of a response to a societal desire to belong and feel acceptance in a world that, like, often does not provide any that kind of comfort. Mm-hmm. You know, it shows us, like, an imperfect version of this, but an interesting setting that gives these characters the opportunity to grow, and hopefully we get a season two where a lot of characters that didn't get shine get some growth and a lot more. But I kind of saw the show as, like, a reflection that many people do not feel supported in our society, especially in our schooling system. And if Wednesday is representing a neurodivergent character, that is something fairly common in the neurodivergent space, is that you do switch schools a lot. Lots of mm-hmm. schools do not work for neurodivergent brains. So Wednesday having to switch schools as many times as Wednesday has makes sense if they are, in fact, neurodivergent. But we got to get this reflection of that society does not support people as a blanket statement. ended there. And that, like, this school is put here and we relate to the characters at the school specifically because that's a need. We need a place that has a community that cares for people and, like, is inclusive and provides that kind of safe space for people to grow and doesn't, like, punch them down until they, like, go work at a factory and die. Mm-hmm. So there are lots of characters outside of Wednesday too that, you know, as Gabe and I kind of talked about, like, we want to see them shine. So hopefully we get that. It's confirmed for season two, but like hopefully they like actually expand upon a lot of the work, the flaws that existed, and as you said, close up those plot holes. And I'll be honest that like there are parts of the show that I really loved and other parts that I really didn't enjoy. But I think the more I think about it, I think that's more an issue with like the writing and like the direction, and had like little to do with the characters and the actors themselves. It was a lot of like they just weren't intentional about things, and that was really frustrating. And they also don't explicitly state things that kind of do need to be explicitly stated if you're going to code a character a certain way, because otherwise you're like positioning a lackluster piece of representation. Like you're like putting it like this could be you, but we're not going to say, because then we can't be accountable.
Just commit.
Yeah, it was just rude because it's like they're basically removing any like accountability that they would otherwise have, which I get why they did that, because they want to like protect themselves. But like then you're also like, you're like still being disrespectful to the actual communities that exist within that space. But the thing that I really loved about the show the most was the relationships between Wednesday and the other characters, not at the beginning where she's kind of the worst. And then she's very entitled and like definitely has like rich kid energy where like, I'm better than you. And that sucked. But like her relationship with Enid specifically, and like her relationship with the boy with the bees that I'm blanking on his name right now, and like the little pieces that she really did bond with other people, that is what I really enjoyed about the show, because her way of communicating and existing is something I just really related to. But there's also a whole commentary on the issue with Wednesday representing like just one specific community in the neurodivergent space. Specifically, there's a lot of debate around the character and if it's okay that they represent the autistic community specifically, and if that's positive or harmful. So specifically, the way her character is viewed as like this quirky, fun, eccentric time, a lot of people are calling out the fact that like a lot of people will find autism in media interesting as a concept, but not in actuality. Like in their real lives, they're not nice to autistic people. So
like that boyfriend who's like, oh, I totally understand and love like your diagnosis. And then when you start like displaying it, it's like, oh, you're being crazy.
Yeah, no, 100%. They're like, I want the fun, quirky parts of it, but none of like the bad parts.
Yeah.
And we do get that with Wednesday. We're like, she doesn't really break down at any point or like show vulnerability in a way that would make her maybe not likable to an audience, because that's like what being a person is like. They don't really show that side of her, and like that's where I was a little disappointed in it too. And now Wednesday is not a real person, but the character does exhibit many traits found in neurodiversity, and the issue is that like neurodivergent people are real. And they're not being represented properly. So many people have opened up about not being treated with the care or kindness by the same people who like claim to love Wednesday on social media in the real world. So a big problem that came up was that the people who enjoyed Wednesday did not transfer that positive feeling to people who actually exhibit similar traits. So as Gabe said, they really like it in theory, but not in practice. So in an article on The Sun titled, Here We Woe, I'm Neurodivergent, and Here's My Issue with Netflix's Wednesday by Laura Carrera-Moeller, they go through some of the positives and negatives of the popularity of Wednesday as a character. So they say, TikTok users quickly made and jumped on a new trend, replicating her dance from the fourth episode on the Netflix series, among them people who were recognized as bullies of the same type of individuals who heavily identified with Wednesday during their childhood or adolescence. So they kind of enjoyed like the commodification and trendiness of the quirks of Wednesday, but bullied the same people who kind of did the same stuff. So this led to an uproar coming from former outcasts who had survived the teasing and bullying that may have been endured for like being neurodivergent. And as TikTok user Goblin Lawless put in one of their posts, "I'm reminded that I'm like more as a concept from afar than as a real person." And another TikToker, Reggie1423, also added that Wednesday Adam trend, but you're autistic and you had to manually blink or work on facial expressions as a kid not to freak people out. Like you get like, you like the fun dance, 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 mm-hmm. but you don't like actual people who have this
or actual that kid real thing. Who like went to the dance and did a weird dance like that. Like, yeah, I know those kids. I dance with them.
Yeah.
Like, but I know a lot of people didn't. And yeah, so I totally get that.
The amount of middle school dances that I cried in the bathroom, make a list. because I danced weird. I had to like have my friends teach me in a field. They're like, this is how you move your hips. Like, that's a real thing that happened.
Yes.
I digress. The biggest problem I found to be consistent across the internet, that while it's great that so many people relate to Wednesday, if Wednesday existed in the real world, they would not be enjoyed on such a large scale. And the people who actually do have neurodivergency do not receive the same kindness or like, I don't know, even like respect that like a version of,
too.
Yeah, like they just don't get that. And like to have all these people who actually do in real life bully people with those things, act like it's the best thing, coolest thing ever. Let me like benefit off of that character when you like cause harm to the same people that you're benefiting from. Like, it's just like really rude ultimately. Mm-hmm. So they would not be a TikTok trend. They would be bullied and ridiculed for the same quirks that have been celebrated on social media. And another issue that was discussed on the interwebs is the complicated impact of Wednesday being coded as autistic, but not explicitly stated as being such. Lots of people within the Reddit thread that Gabe found for me had conflicting viewpoints on audiences diagnosing Wednesday and saw it as another instance of media taking complex psychological or neurological concepts and watering them down. The original poster of the thread felt strongly that they did not want people to perpetuate the idea that Wednesday was autistic because they found it harmful. And there are ways that I can understand and even agree with that take, and that there are aspects of Wednesday that, if accepted as the poster child of what it means to be autistic, could cause harm, both because autism exists on a spectrum and no autistic person is the exact same, and therefore no one can be a poster child for what autism is. Mm-hmm. Because there's so many different varieties of what it means to be autistic that exists, that Wednesday as a character written like that way is a problem. And then also Wednesday having traits of like murderous intent, as well as like receiving enjoyment from other people's pain.
Mm-hmm.
And then also being like stated to be autistic on the internet is like, that's a problem. Having that associated with autism, a neurological disorder that is already highly stigmatized, misunderstood, and even feared, is harmful. Especially because murderous feelings and enjoyment of the pain of others are definitely not traits of autism, and they do not exist on the diagnostic criteria. So seeing Wednesday as a blanket representation of autism could lead people to have even more misconceptions around what autism means than they already do. So in that way, I totally see where they're coming from. Lots of people within the thread also saw no problem with the association, but like any community, there are differing views throughout and not everyone's going to think the same thing. So my biggest takeaway from that was, I think the most important thing is that while a character like Wednesday does exhibit some traits of autism, you know, like the flat facial affect, a monotone way of speaking, a fierce sense of justice, dislike of touching, misunderstanding of social conventions, social cues, that doesn't mean they have that diagnosis unless it's like explicitly stated by the creators. And as I said, they're not a real person. So, you know.
And that's probably why the creators aren't explicitly saying that too. Because then they can't technically be held responsible for the way that she's being represented.
Exactly. And that's my theory too. I think like the reason that they aren't stating it is a part of the problem, and also is like a way for them to protect themselves and not be accountable. So, but as we said, Wednesday isn't a real person, and the creators have not stated what their actual intention was. So essentially, if you can't substantiate the claims, prove they're factual or confirmed, don't make them. You can relate to them all you want, but don't like go on the internet and tell everyone this is that autism. They're
wrong. Yeah.
And point to her, essentially think whatever you want to think, but like recognize that like not everyone's going to agree. With that being said, as a neurospicy human myself, I found Wednesday unbelievably validating, and I related to them a lot, both in her interactions with others and how other characters like interpreted her actions. That's like what really got me. I've acted very similarly to Wednesday many times throughout my life, especially when I felt cornered, hurt, or overwhelmed by the unspoken expectations and social conventions of others. The fight with Enid.
Mm-hmm.
I had to turn it off for a minute because I was like, oh my God, yeah. I've had this exact conversation with someone, and it like hit me so much. I was like, the emotions are just like so palpable. I was like, I need to pause because mm-hmm. like I have lived this exact interaction where she's like just standing there and she's like, I don't understand what happened.
Yeah, like why is this?
But why are they mad at me? I don't understand how we got here. Like it wasn't intentional. I didn't mean for this to happen, and now they're mad, and I don't know what to do.
There's also the scene with like the boy when he like tells her that she's like horrible. It's like a really terrible thing if when she's been coded so severely as like autistic or just, you know, being neurospicy, and then have him be like, you were awful, was so horrible. And then he never really like, he's like, oh sorry I said that, but it's never really like acknowledged, like, oh, we just don't get you, right? Like no one's ever like, it's, you're not wrong, you're just different. no one acknowledges that.
They just like kind of get. Another thing that happens in the show, this is why I felt like so seen by Winston, because like people just come back and then no one talks about the fight.
Uh-huh.
And I was just like, you need to say why you were mad. You know what I mean? Like there needs to be a conversation, because I'm going to do it again if you don't tell me what I did wrong. You know what I mean? The whole time. So in that way, the show was like so validating to watch, because like Wednesday, there's been so many interactions where like people make really big assumptions about like my intentions behind things, and then like they're not correct, and then I'm like, I must fix, because I do care a lot and I do love this person, and I must make this okay. And I just like related to that so much, and I think I was a little bit projecting onto her, like she's a character, she's not a person in the show, but I was like, this is me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's okay. So I have a lot of the things that Wednesday does have also in like her mannerisms. I've like learned to deprogram that, but like as a default, like I do have the flat affect, I do have the monotone way of speaking. I have a lot of interests that a lot of people don't find interesting other than me. I do have a radical and sometimes unethical sense of justice. I am often blinded by the pursuit of knowledge and forget the feelings of others. And I also usually misunderstand other people's intentions in the same way that like people misunderstood Wednesdays. Like I also do that where I like think someone's doing something to be mean, and then I'm like, oh no, they meant it totally different. And then you're like, oh, social is hard. And there's like a long list of reasons why I love Wednesday and resonated with her. But many of these things were things that, you know, the things that I got along with, as a lot of other people saw, were things that, like, people used against me, and they use against Wednesday in the show sometimes, and it was like reasons I was bullied, you know, long list. So it's honestly like just really validating to see a character like Wednesday, even if they're not explicitly stated, because I related so heavily to like a lot of the way that they existed in the world, without, you know, the enjoying torture or murder parts. I didn't do that. But the other things, yes. So seeing a character like Wednesday make friends and find belonging was like kind of cathartic for me, because it was a hopeful take on like what it is to be an outsider. Like the fact that like she did still have people in her life that cared about her and like loved her. Sometimes they did a bad job of explaining the stuff, but like they did care about her, and she did a bad job too, honestly, a lot of times. She wasn't the best friend, like 10 out of 10. She had a lot of work that she needed to do. And I think by the end, she did definitely grow in terms of care. You could tell like she did try a little harder towards the end. And hopefully in season 2, we do get a little bit more growth from her as well as a lot of the other characters that didn't get shine. But my long rant, essentially, is to say, from a point of relation, the enjoyment of Wednesday is definitely something to be celebrated. if it made you feel seen, that's amazing, because that's what media should do. And in that way, I think the show was powerful for a lot of people who are neurodivergent to like see themselves in media. Even in Enid, there's like lots of neurodivergent traits that Enid had, and seeing that represented was like really powerful too, I think. I hope that in the future, maybe they explicitly state what the characters represent so that they can actually like be more intentional and like, yeah, own it, fix it a little bit. And also just, yeah, like not make them the idea of people. Like, I get their characters, but like, you know, give them a little bit more complexity and growth, and like also just like let them be authentically who they are. But yeah, so if it made you feel like you had like positive stuff, that's dope. I thought the show was really fun. I did really like it. Like, we'll say the disclaimer, like the game did, like I did like the show. I'm not saying I didn't like the show, it just, it did have some flaws and things that it definitely needed to work on, and hopefully in season two they do. But if not, then that will be sad.
Yeah. Yeah. I think one of the biggest things for the, like, her murderous intent is, like, is, did they put her whole, like, because, you know, people have argued that the piranha scene at the beginning is the most Wednesday thing she's done. Like, a lot of people say she's not like any other Wednesday that there's been, because she's actually less murdery than Wednesday usually is. So yeah. It's like, did they see Wednesday's murderous intent from the previous stuff and think, oh, it's because she's neurospicy, and then lean into it? That's a problem.
Oh,
if
yeah.
They were like, if they were like, okay, we have to make her like Wednesday, so we give her these weird things, but then also we're trying to make this whole new character, they just completely didn't understand
what they're doing meant
by conjoining those. So that's what it really is, like, not knowing what their intent was, or not understanding where they were coming from. And so I've seen like hate from people who are like, she's like a subdued Wednesday, she's not like the Wednesday I know. And I'm like, yeah, but because she had to be on screen for more than like 5 minutes.
Yeah. And they had to like, you know, give her things to like for people to relate to. And also like, being a murderer is not good, so like, you can't just have her be murdering people the whole time. Like, I get it, like, you as a show also exists, but you're not supposed to like Joe.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're supposed to like Wednesday. You have to sit with her the entire experience, an entire season, so like, you can't just make her a murder hobo.
Yeah,
in my opinion. I don't know. I guess you could, but like, it just, I don't think that would have been,
it would have been weird. It would have been hard to relate to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was quirky, but it was so small in the other parts. Like, you, what you liked was her like sense of justice in the show, in the films. Or like, I mean, that's what I liked about it.
Yeah.
And that was translated, I think, well enough.
And I mean, I'm not saying she should have put piranhas in the pool, but they were hurting her brother. So like, if she does have a fierce sense of justice, it is unethical. But they did die.
She had to stop them somehow, you know?
It was the after where she was like, I wish they died. That was the problem. And she shouldn't have done that. I don't know.
I do, you know, and I loved Enid. I thought she was really cute. And I definitely saw parts of myself in Enid and in Wednesday. And just like, I can be very bright and colorful. I love colors. But it actually took me a long time to admit that it wasn't cool, I didn't want to be a girly girl, you know, because, you know, gender norms suck, and I didn't want to do it. So I had to be the exact opposite without understanding that like, you could just be and I could like colors, I could be bright. I would have loved to have a friend like Enid who showed me that I could do that and I could appreciate that and be more comfortable with who I am in whatever state I was. And she's also like struggling, she's going through so much, and is in need of a friend as much as Wednesday is. And I think that is really sweet, and I just hope that it like expands. Like, if they don't become girlfriends, I get it. At least with Enid you could do something like that. That's absurd. Like, you can't just queer bait with Enid for forever.
Yeah,
like, you can't put the trans flags in her hair and give her the friggin' conversion camp therapy and not
explore do something that more. With
it. Like,
yeah.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
That's weird. It's like Taylor Swift's song where she was like hinting that she's a lesbian, but that she's not at all. And she's like, it's like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Well, the entire problem is that you just didn't commit to anything.
Yeah.
They're just like, we're doing it, but we're not. We're going to hire people of diverse backgrounds, but we're not going to let them actually be that. We're going to do this, that, and the other thing. We're not going to actually do it, though, you know?
Yeah. But look at us. Look at us.
We got a nice C minus of a try.
Yeah.
Or I guess, like, whatever just passing is, like, that they made the show, and lots of parts were really fun, and it's a good show. Go watch it. But, like, it has flaws.
But all that to say that we did like the show. We do like the show. It is a show for kids and for young at heart folks who enjoy a good murder mystery. I am very excited for what they have for next season. You know, it's just like, and I also did feel seen. I also did really love and feel a connection to the fact that she finally got to be Latine, and that meant a lot to me, and it was nice to unpack some of the excitement I had from a child and seeing Raul Julia and being like, whoa, that's what a dad can be? Like, because I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what dads can be. And I was like, if they're like that, that's cool.
Yeah, I'll love that guy.
That guy's cool. I'm going to take one of those.
Yeah.
I think that's really, like, that's just cool to be able to re-explore that. And now there's, like, a whole new generation of young people who can fall in love with the Addams Family in this new way. It's, like, cool that's been here since, like, 38, you know? Like,
yeah.
That's crazy.
It's like about to be 100 years.
Yeah. This is coming up on 100 years of them existing. That's cool.
So, yeah. That's crazy, too. That's just crazy. It's straight up bonkers, even.
2023. You know, like,
and, like, how much it's grown. Still with room to grow, but, like, you know, look at it do. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah. I do. And also, just, like, as a side note, I think it's really funny because you know, my instinct was to dress up as Wednesday just because, like, I love the aesthetic. And she says Latine. And then Kat dressed up and it was perfect. Then I was like, idiot, I'm Enid.
Our friendship persona is 1000% you are Enid, I am Wednesday.
Yeah, like, that's what we are cosplaying them every day of our lives.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Of course.
Yeah. It's very
like,
funny.
Any episode you get of us is, like, Kat being like, the world is on fire. We should contribute to it burning. And then I'm like, but what about the love stuff? Color. Think about that. Like, actually rethink about it. You know? Like, that's, oh my God. It's so fun. I love it. Always identified as the weird, quirky sidekick who wears way too many patterns. So
you're the protagonist, Gabe.
Oh no. Stay tuned for the rest of this series of The Kids Are All Right. We'll find out if that's true.
Yeah.
We're gonna be talking about some really interesting kid stuff. Mostly horror related. One that's horror adjacent. It has some horrifying things that happen, but people are gonna argue with us that happens sometimes. But two explicitly horror things. And I'm excited to, you know, explore what it means to be a kid and to understand the world. And, and then we'll see, you know, what happens as the time comes. But thank you for waiting for us as we took our little break. It was much needed. And don't get married.
Well, eat your kids.
Bye.
Bye.